Well, good evening, everybody. It's nice to be back here. Today, we're going to be looking at Timothy, continuation of what we preached on last time. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Before we start, I want you guys to think about, is there something you wanted to do, and in doing that, everybody told you it's going to be the hardest thing you'll ever have to face? A lot of times in life we want to we want to go to school. I know a lot of people that want to be doctors. Well, beforehand, a lot of people will tell them, hey, it's going to be a struggle. And these people, it's good to know that because they have to know what they're up against. And same here today, we're going to look at something that is the hardest thing that we can possibly ever go through. But it's something that we need to know, because we need to be prepared for it. And we need to know what we're up against to face. Our text is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go ahead and read it. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, affections, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." May the Lord add his blessing upon his word. Let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for this evening that we can come together and open up your word. I pray, Lord, that we would learn something today and that we would be encouraged and that we would have a new zeal and desire for you. We thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word and how it builds us up and causes us to be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What we know about 2 Timothy, we know that Paul is writing to Timothy, and this is Paul's last epistle that he writes. At this time, Paul is in prison. Paul is at his last days. And he writes this book to Timothy, and the constant theme over and over is that there is going to be suffering. He tells Timothy in chapter 1, first, he tells him to stir up the gift of God which is in thee. He tells him to not be ashamed in verse 8. He goes on to explain how he is not ashamed in verse 12. Chapter 2, Paul writes to Timothy and tells him to be a faithful servant, that he should resemble a soldier, that he should resemble an athlete, and that he should also resemble a husbandman or a farmer. And in telling him that he should be faithful, he also tells him that God is faithful. And in chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, talks about the faithfulness of God. And last time I was here, we talked about how we should be studying to show ourselves approved unto God, and that we should be continuing on in the faith, and that we should be striving to be vessels unto honor. With all that said, we now arrive in chapter 3, where Paul writes to Timothy about the last days. He tells him that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he gives him a nice little vice list. Actually, it's a big vice list of different attributes of what mankind is going to look like. I just want to go through them one more time and really pay attention to them as we go through them. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, haughty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Looking at this vice list, I guess we can also add verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. But looking at this vice list, do you know anybody that carries any of these characteristics? Paul is writing to Timothy about the last times. But here, I'm sure we can all think of people, and we think of the people of this world, and we can think of people that carry these characteristics. We go to Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus is talking about the end times, what is to take place. Where he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that it be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. It seems like in these two sections, talking about the last days, these things are happening. And I think the Lord is smart in that they've happened before and they're going to continue to happen. We go to Acts chapter 1, where the disciples ask Jesus about when he's going to come back. And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the season which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
I believe that the things which Jesus spoke of that is to come, it's no coincidence that it was happening then with the Roman Empire in AD 70, and it continues to happen till today. And I think the idea there is that, like it says in verse 8, that we are supposed to, it's not for us to know, but we're supposed to be witnesses. The times seem like they're end right now because that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be acting like today is our last day in how we're going out in our ministries. But I think with this said, with this vice list that we have here, we can come to the conclusion that mankind has always been bad. And we can also come to the conclusion that it will continue to grow worse. It says, these people having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I learned a new word in studying this passage. It's Christendom. And that's what we can call these people, that having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's what a lot of people proclaiming to be Christians do. They are very quick to proclaim to be Christians, but they have never trusted in Christ, which is the power that we have in the gospel. And then he goes on to talk about evil men and the seducers of for of this sort they creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Now, the term Christendom, we can all fall under that category because we all claim to be Christians. But this is not talking about Christians, because in verse 7, the true believers have come unto the knowledge of truth. But these are talking about the people who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's important to make that distinction. The text gives examples of two people, Jannes and Jambres. And something that we can know about these two people is that they were the sorcerers in Egypt that that Pharaoh had, that was duplicating all the miracles that, well, most of the miracles that Moses performed through our Lord. And they give the example of these people because these are people who resist the truth. They are men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. I separated this text into two portions, from 1 to 9 and from 10 to 17. From 1 to 9, we can take away the very concept that men are bad. They will continue to grow bad, and they will just get worse and worse. With that said, with in mind that the men of this world are going to continue to grow worse and worse, Paul talks about how Timothy has known his full doctrine. So he has known fully his doctrine, his manner of life, his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, his love or charity, his patience. Given the fact that Paul had all these good attributes that Timothy could attest to, in verse 11, he mentions his persecutions and afflictions with which came unto him at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul had a lot of good attributes, but that did not protect him from persecutions. If we can turn to 2 Corinthians 11, we'll get an idea of what the Apostle Paul went through. 2 But keep in mind that this was the letter that is written to Timothy is after this. So he could have even gone through more persecutions since that time. But in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says to the church of Corinth, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness." We see the persecution and the things that the Apostle Paul went through. And after all that, he was able to claim that the Lord delivered him from them all. In Psalms 34, verse 17, we have a similar idea of how the Lord delivers the righteousness from all their afflictions. Psalms 34, 17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Paul can attest to that. In verse 12, he gives a promise. He says, "Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We get in this mindset that things are going to be easy. Paul gives a promise that it's not. He gives a promise of persecution. But the important part of this verse is that the promise to persecution is for those that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Christians sometimes get caught up pleasing the world. The devil doesn't care about those kind of Christians. That's not what he's worried about. He's worried about the Christians that are pursuing to live godly. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks to his disciples and tells them that the world is going to hate you because they hated me first. There's the promise from our Lord. And in James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, ye know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." The persecution comes not when we're trying to be friends with the world. Because when we're friends with the world, we're enemies with God. It is very possible for us to have all these characteristics in verse 2 to verse 5 and still be Christians. We think that if we want to be a part of this world and want to please the world, that's the easy way. Well, it is, but that's not the right way. We get in a mindset of thinking like the world. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalms 73, where we read about thinking of the mindset of the world. We get caught up being jealous of those around us. But it's only when we come into the presence of the Lord that we get some sense knocked into us. Psalm 73 says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such that are of a clean heart. But for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm, and they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." He goes on to talk about all the things that he's jealous of. But then, in the end of the psalm, he says how when he came into the knowledge, when he came into the presence of the Lord, he realized truth. He realized his purpose. We're not going to go through and read it for time's sake, but in verse 13, we continue, and it talks about how evil men and seducers are just going to become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Let's not get caught up being deceived by the lies of this world. Let's not be deceived and be jealous of the world and what it has to offer. We know that the sufferings that come along with living godly are great. We see that in Paul. But yet in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul says that the sufferings of this world don't even compare. I'll read it. Instead of paraphrasing it, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." We need to keep our mind on things above. If we get caught, we get ourselves caught up in thinking, how come I'm going through all the troubles, and how come that guy down the street has the nice cars or the nice house, and seems like his family is going well, seems like everything is going just fine. Just remember that the sufferings of this time don't even compare. We see here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that men are just going to keep getting worse, and our persecutions are even going to keep getting harder. Now, I don't want to confuse persecutions as something that we just bring upon ourselves. At Wayne State, we always have this guy that comes and comes to try to preach the gospel. And he stands in the corner over there, and he points the finger. He said, "You over there with the cigarette in your mouth, you're going to hell." Or he says, "You dressed like that, you're going to hell. You should not be dressed like that." Someone like that brings persecution on themselves. So in our attempt to live godly, it should be pure. We should do it lovingly. And we should not be trying to bring it upon ourselves. Because just trying in itself, we're going to get persecuted. It's not a fun thing to get persecuted. In Acts chapter 14, we don't have to go there, but Paul gets stoned. I believe it's either Lystra or Iconium. And he gets stoned to the point where they perceived him as dead. That's not a fun thing to go through. We shouldn't romanticize the persecution that's gonna come. But with this said, Paul tells Timothy, he gives him the exhortation, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I don't know what the testimony of everybody here consists of, but mine is pretty similar to Timothy's, in that when I was 5 years old, I remember myself sitting in Sunday school. It's a pretty boring testimony, because I wasn't a drug addict, or I wasn't a murderer. At heart I was, but I never actually committed those things. But when I was five, I knew I was a sinner, and that because of my sin, I deserved the penalty of death. And the death that's an eternal death, eternal separation from God. And that unless if I trusted in the price that Jesus paid on the cross to take me to heaven, I knew I was going to hell. And so when I was 5 years old, I trusted in Christ. Now, after that, then my testimony kind of got more interesting. Because there came a point in my life where I had to choose. Am I going to forget everything that I learned? Am I going to start to resist the truth, like Janice and John Brees? Or I had the decision, am I going to continue in what I learned, knowing what I learned and who I learned it from? If we learn something with someone who carries the characteristics of someone in verses 2 through 4, obviously we're not going to hold anything that they say as true. But here Timothy learned it as a child, we know, from his mother and grandmother, who were very godly women. So he was able to trust them. And not only that, but the content of what he learned, he was able to trust. Same thing we can apply to our lives. Growing up, what have we learned? Being here, what have we learned? We have to make decisions. Are we going to continue in them? Or are we going to resist them? The promise here is a tough one. Because the promise is that if we continue in them, if we strive to live godly, we shall suffer persecution. I want to stop and think about that a little bit, because logically, if we live godly, then we suffer persecution. Then if we're not suffering persecution, are we living godly? Paul is at his end of his road here. In chapter 4, he says that my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight and finished my course. He tells Timothy about the struggles that he's going to endure. But yet, Timothy knows the joy that Paul has. Timothy is aware of this. Paul reminds him of it. And it's important for us to be reminded that we have a decision. We can think of life here and now, or we can think of life in reference to eternity. In Luke chapter 9, verse 26, there is a possibility for us to stand in front of our Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and Him be ashamed of us. That is a very well possibility. That we can conform to this world and come judgment day, our Lord is ashamed of us. To me, that's a scary, scary thing. To know that the Lord who died on the cross for me, that is the author of my salvation, the scriptures which make us wise unto salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ, To stand in front of that Lord and for him to be ashamed of me is a scary thing. So I would encourage myself and I would encourage all of us here that we would have the perspective of eternity and continue in what we know to be true. Paul then goes on to remind Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This book right here, the Scripture that we have here, is complete in its function. It is complete in what it has to offer us in becoming perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. With all that said, Paul goes on in chapter 4 and tells Timothy, be instant, in season and out of season. But what we have here, we have two sides. We have something that brings us joy, and we also have something that is not a fun aspect of being a Christian. We need to know what we're getting ourselves into when we want to live godly. But most importantly, we need to know why it's worth it. To stand in front of our Lord and have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, is something that we should all strive after. So, in that we should be happy that we are forewarned, that we know what's to come. Living godly is not an easy task. But if we keep our eyes on the goal above, goal ahead of us, we know it's worth it. Paul suffered many persecutions, and I bet the persecutions that we come onto are nowhere near to compare being stoned to the point of death. But nonetheless, we must continue. And in that, we have our reward in heaven. We're not promised any blessings here on earth. The Israelites were promised the earthly blessings. In Deuteronomy, Moses writes to them as they're about to enter into the promised land. He says, if you keep all these commandments, you will live. You will be prosperous. As Christians, we have the opposite. We have the promise that if we keep all these commands and strive to live godly, that on this earth, we will suffer many persecution. But in that, we need to continue and keep our eyes focused, because if our eyes aren't focused on things above, if our eyes aren't focused on the prize, then it's very easy to get discouraged. But in this, we should be encouraged, because one, we're forewarned, and two, we have the promise of things to come. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening, that we can come here together and hear your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word presents to us. We thank you, Lord, for the persecutions that you promised us to endure. I pray, Lord, that we would keep our eyes on things in light of eternity, and not in light of things of this world. The men of this world are going to keep getting worse and worse, and persecutions are just going to get harder and harder. But I pray, Lord, that given that, we would still continue to strive to be godly, and that we would continue in what we know in light of eternity. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.